Well, good morning. Several weeks ago, we began a brand new series. It's a study guide that I am working on, that I am putting together, and it's titled Destined for Glory. And in the first chapter, I tried to show God's overall plan for His people. In Romans 8 and verse 29, Paul writes these words, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so God, long ago, predestined that he would have a family that would have sons and daughters, and every one of them would resemble the image and likeness of Jesus Christ himself. And then in the next lesson, I showed that it starts with the new birth, that you have to be born again into God's family. Last time we got together, I spoke on it's time to grow up. And we looked at all the admonitions in the New Testament that encourage us to grow from infancy to maturity, from childhood to adulthood. And then starting today, I'm going to be looking at seven ways that God grows us up. These are the different ways the scripture teaches that God molds and shapes each one of our lives. And so today's lesson is titled, No Pain, No Gain. God shapes us through suffering. Driving through Texas, a New Yorker collided with a truck carrying a horse. A few months later, he tried to collect damages for his injuries. How can you claim all of these injuries? Asked the insurance company's lawyer. According to the police report, at the time you said you were not hurt. Look, replied the New Yorker, I was laying on the road in a lot of pain, and I heard someone say that the horse had a broken leg. The next thing I know, this Texas Ranger pulls out his gun and shoots the horse. Then he turns and he asks me, are you okay? So one of the ways that God shapes us into the likeness of Jesus is through suffering. No doubt you've heard the saying many times in your life, no pain, no gain. We may not like it, but it's true. The history of humanity teaches no pain, no gain. Tim Hansel in his book, Holy Sweat, points out that in 1962, Victor and Mildred Gortzel published a revealing study of 413 famous, exceptionally gifted people. It's called Cradles of Eminence. They spent years attempting to understand what produced such greatness, what common thread ran through all of these outstanding people's lives. Surprisingly, the most outstanding fact that was virtually true of all of them, that is 392, was that they all had overcome very difficult obstacles in their life in order to become who they were. The world of athleticism teaches no pain, no gain. I wonder how many laps in the pool it took Michael Phelps to achieve his Olympic dream. No doubt he spent countless hours swimming and conditioning his body in order to become the greatest swimmer of all time. Bodybuilders spend thousands of hours in the gym lifting weights, working out in order to achieve a chiseled looking body. How much suffering do you think a pro football player has to go through, has to endure in their lifetime? You think about all the practices, running in the heat, getting hit over and over again. But they endure, and eventually they reach their goal of playing in the NFL. Most people are not willing to endure the pain to accomplish their goals. We don't like pain. We try to avoid it at all costs. But without pain, none of the people that I've mentioned thus far would have achieved the goals that they had achieved. Every athlete understands no pain, no gain. Nature teaches no pain, no gain. A man found a cocoon of the emperor moth, and he took it home to watch it emerge. And one day a small opening appeared. And after several hours, the moth struggled, but it couldn't quite seem to force itself through a certain point. Deciding that something was wrong, the man took a pair of scissors and he snipped the remaining bit of cocoon. The moth emerged very easily, its body large and swollen, the wings small and shriveled. He expected in a few hours that the wings would spread out in their natural beauty, but they did not. Instead, the developing creature, instead of developing into a creature free to fly, the moth spent its life dragging around a swollen body and shriveled wings. You see, the constricting cocoon was that struggle to make it through there was necessary because that's what pushed the fluid of in the body of that creature into the wings and caused the wings to spread out. Without that struggle, without that fight, that doesn't happen. And so consequently, the moth never, ever developed. And there are many believers today who simply do not develop because they don't allow God to work with them in times of struggles. Struggles are not fun, but they're necessary. The outcome is a wonderful thing. But you know, the Bible teaches no pain, no gain. Every problem, every trial, every difficulty in life is a character building opportunity. Listen to the psalmist. This is Psalm 105, verses 16 to 21. The psalmist writes, "Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent him and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions." Now, a little bit of background information is helpful here. You see, through a couple of dreams, God had revealed to Joseph that one day he would be a great leader. This is Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. Then what happened? Well, Joseph's brothers sold him, and he wound up in Egypt. Then what happened? Well, Potiphar's wife said that he had made advances toward her, and consequently he was thrown in prison. Then what happened? Then he interprets the dream of the butler and the baker, and he's forgotten. But finally, Joseph emerges from prison as the great leader that God told him that he would be through his dreams many, many years ago. You see, God knew that Joseph would never be the great leader that God wanted him to be without adversity, without struggle. And so God allowed Joseph to suffer. And through his pain, God stripped away many of his bad qualities and greater qualities emerged. That's what happens when we go through trials and tribulations and struggle in life. God gets rid of those things that are undesirable in our lives. And he brings out the qualities that are more desirable. So listen, when life gets tough, instead of asking, "Why, Lord?" ask, "What, Lord, do you want me to learn?" And it's vital that we ask this question. Because when trials come, we respond in one of two ways. We either become better or we become bitter. When life gets hard, many believers are tempted to simply abandon ship. They are tempted to turn from the faith. That's just what so many do, and that's why this lesson is important, especially for young believers in Jesus who haven't experienced maybe tough adversity in life. This is a time when many who can't maybe take tough times are tempted to abandon from the faith. My encouragement to you is simply this: do not do it, because God is at work in your life. And James tells us that our faith will be tested. That's what James 1:2 says. God does not put a protective ring around His people to shield them from harm and from adversity and from suffering. If He did, we would probably serve God for lesser reasons. James says, consider it all joy, brethren, when trials come. Not if they come, but when they come. Your faith will be tested. So the question is, how will you respond in the day of testing? Well, how does James say that we should respond? He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, what is endurance? Endurance is being patient and not giving up in the trials of life. Endurance is an important quality that we must develop. But notice that endurance is not the end result. He goes on to say, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's verse 4. And so the next thing James says is to let endurance have its perfect result in your life. You see, impatience, complaining, bitterness is not a perfect result. But that's how we respond on many occasions. But that would be missing the moment of the opportunity for spiritual growth. James says that we should let endurance make us perfect and complete. Paul says it this way in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. He basically says what James says, uses different words. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. What happens when we endure trials patiently? God shapes our character. That's what happens. We become more empathetic, humble, loving, trusting, and dependent people. God is moving us along in this process of making us to become like Jesus. It takes trials. It takes struggles. It takes adversity. We'll never reach what God wants us to reach unless we encounter these difficulties in life. If there's no pain, there's no gain. It's part of the process, and God wants us to know that. Though many of us have seen pictures of the huge eagle's nest high in the branches of a tree or in the crag of a cliff, few of us have gotten a glimpse on the inside. When the mother eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns and broken branches and sharp rocks and a number of other items that are entirely unsuitable for the project, at least seem to be unsuitable. But then she lines the nest with thick padding of wool and feathers from animals that she has killed, making it very comfortable for her and the eggs. And by the time the growing babies reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of free meals makes the eagles quite reluctant to leave the nest, which is what you're supposed to do when you become a mature eagle. You're not supposed to stay in the nest all your life. And so the mother begins to start tearing up the nest with her talons, and she begins pulling up the thick padding and the fur and the feathers, bringing the sharp rocks and the thorns and the branches all to the top. Eventually, the eagles don't like, you know, the thorns and the rocks, and so they leave the nest. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's no longer a comfortable place. It's now uncomfortable. But it's because it's uncomfortable that the eagle leaves and leaves immature behavior to mature behavior. And so, like the mother eagle, God allows life to become uncomfortable for us in order to move us along in our behavior, to go from childhood to adulthood. That's what God wants to do in our life. So when you face trials and difficulties and life is tough, be patient because God knows what He's doing. He knows what it takes to shape you into the likeness of Jesus. Many grow impatient when this happens, and they miss opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be shaped into the likeness of Jesus. And consequently, their growth is stunted. And like the emperor moth, they go through life underdeveloped. Have you been missing out on God's character building program? Maybe you have. You see, if you don't accept these difficulties and these trials that we face in life in the right way, it's going to stunt your growth. The reason God allows it is so that you do grow, so that you do mature, so that you do become the person that God wants you to be. Once when Bob Hope received a major reward, he responded, "I don't deserve this, but then I have arthritis and I don't deserve this either." Remember, don't ask why, Lord. Start asking what, Lord, do you want me to learn? Sometimes the greatest lessons we learn come through life's most difficult moments. And this is so true. And so don't allow yourself to become bitter, but allow God to make you better. Allow Him to make you more like Jesus, because you are destined for glory. I like this little poem. Out of the dark, forbidding soil, the pure white lilies grow. Out of the black and murky clouds descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling earth, bound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of the somber, shrouded night, behold a golden morn. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of the nails, the spear, the cross, redemption in a crown. You see, suffering is part of the plan. It's all part of God's plan to grow you up in Jesus Christ. And without suffering, without trials, without difficulties, you will never ever develop. You won't become the person that God wants you to be in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, when life gets hard, don't run. Don't blame God. Don't say why, God. Just say, what, God, is it you want me to learn? Because obviously there's something in your life that God wants to work on, that you need to work on, something that needs to be eradicated. And God will produce new behaviors in your life. He will help you take off the old man and put on the new man. And suffering is just part of the plan. It's one of the ways that God grows us up so that we one day will resemble the image and likeness of the Son of God. And so I hope when life gets tough for you, you handle it the right way. That you understand that God is at work. Every trial, every difficulty we face in life is a character building opportunity and moment. And God uses every single one of them because He wants to develop you and make you like Jesus. And so don't resist what God is doing in your life, but rather rejoice knowing that God is working and shaping and molding you because He has great plans for your life. One day you will look like Jesus, and God won't stop until that happens. And so this morning, if you're struggling, if life is hard, you're going through a difficult time, maybe you need prayers. We would love to pray with you if life is hard. There's nothing wrong with going to God when life is hard and saying, God, help me. Help me to endure. God, what is it you want me to learn? This is a great opportunity to do that. And this morning we're going to sing a song and we're going to offer you an opportunity to come and we'll pray with you if you would like for us to pray with you. If you've never been born again, experienced a new birth, become a part of God's family, you also have that opportunity. The invitation is open. We encourage you to come as we stand together and sing.